Morning.
Yes, Chairperson, it's 9 o'clock. We do have enough members, and the minister and officials from the department are already in the meeting. And the agenda is as it's flagged by Chairperson. Over to you.
No, thanks very much, colleagues. Thanks and welcome on all members, Minister and Deputy Minister, and Lieutenant General. I will request also to ground my video so that I able to benefit from a proper network. We're going to receive updates on the items that are on the agenda, and also will request our secretary to read into record the response which I've received. And I'm also aware that the response also been, the letter has been also returned to the speaker. And we had a discussion with the minister on the process that need to be followed so that we're able to deal with the issues that are before us. You know, members, that these are critical issues that we need to deal with as the portfolio committee. And I'm hopeful that the minister and the director general will be able to give us an update. Mr. Matonsi, can I invite you on the second item?
Yes, Chairperson. From the committee side, we don't have apologies. It's just to indicate, Chairperson, that Parliament Legal Service, we also invited them. They are in the meeting just to listen. Ms. Daksha, Carson, and Telani, they are not in the meeting, but they are represented by Ms. Van der Merwe in the meeting, Chairperson. So from the committee side, there are no apologies.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Matonsi. Any other apology, members? I know that last week there was an apology that came late. Okay. Minister? Is there any other apology you want to render?
No, Chair, not that I know of.
Okay, thank you.
But I thought I must check with the DM's office. I heard yesterday that he's not feeling well. I don't know about today. Maybe
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's fine. If there's no any other apology, let's proceed. Mr. Matonsi, can you then render item number 3?
Yes, Chair. I just want to make the letter. Chairperson, on the 16th of this month, you wrote to the minister to inquire on the update of the consequential amendments to the Electoral Amendment Bill and the Marriage Bill. That was on the 16th. And then the minister responded the following day, that was on the 17th, on the two bills that we inquire about. The minister is saying that the minister has written a letter to the speaker as well, you know, to give the speaker an update on the consequential amendment. And then the other thing is that he indicated that no, they are trying to get a direct access to cabinet so that no, the meeting, the bill could be introduced in parliament. This will happen possibly during the month of November 2023. Then on the second paragraph, that's where it's indicating on the issue of direct access to the cabinet. And also he knows that no, there's an urgency in terms of tabling this bill to the committee so that no, we can start processing it. He also said no, he wished to that the bill would be submitted to the committee once cabinet approves the submission to parliament and certification is obtained from the Office of the State Law Advisor. So in other words, this could happen during the month of November, Chairperson. This is the update on the letter that we received from the minister. On the marriage bill, Chairperson, the minister indicated that no, they have submitted the bill to the state law advisor for their legal opinion, and then once the for the legal opinion before it is tabled to cabinet, once the state law advisor approves the submission, then the bill will be submitted to parliament and to cabinet and to cabinet and to parliament, and then it's also aware of the deadline to process this bill by June 2024, Chairperson. Also down here, yes, attached letter. If you, let me just go to the bottom, I won't go through it. This is the letter, members have it. This is the letter that was written by the speaker to the minister. It's referred up there in the letter to you, Chairperson. And then this is the response. This is the response to the letter that the speaker wrote to the minister, Chairperson. Those letters are available to members. They have been sent to them, Chairperson. So that's all from my side.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Matonsi. Members, this is the update or the process that the minister is grappling with to find these two items in the cabinet subcommittee. And we'll then move to the third item. Members will comment on the issues once we are done with the three items. I think just an indication of where we are. And Minister, if you need to elaborate more on the correspondence you have returned to for our attention, you ought to comment at your time when we request. But it's important that members of the committee, because we're worried as a collective on the time frame, and I think in the manner that you have confirmed to ourselves in terms of the time frame that you are behind, and we need to deal with these issues as soon as possible. And I'm not sure members want to comment now, but I will advise that perhaps you comment after item number 5 so that we deal with all the issues that have been receiving updates. Yeah, I think that's it, to be fair. Can I invite the minister to introduce item number 3 and number 4? Sorry, number 4 and 5, yeah. DG, I think the minister is not...
No. Chairperson, I'm sorry. I was speaking alone. Not aware that I'm muted, yeah. Can they put the agenda back on the screen? Because in my file here, I realized that they put the outdated agenda. I'm sorry about that. There was a new one yesterday, which I got rid of because I thought I put an agenda in my file, yeah. So, Chairperson, you want me to comment on item... You said what? Item 4 and 5.
Yeah, then members will deliberate and will comment.
Yeah, okay. No, Chairperson, as you are aware, the letters I wrote to the speaker is a little bit of a while ago, and a lot of things has happened ever since, because these issues are about processes. From the department side, all these bills here that are worrying all of us because of the time. And because, as you know, all of them have got a constitutional court deadlines or constitutional court instructions, all three of them. So we have been trying to push, but I can assure you that now the bills are ready. What is left are just technicalities in terms of processes in cabinet, because they must go through certain cabinet processes. We have even gone to an extent of asking for exemptions from these processes. But as I'm speaking, the office in which they are now is the state law advisor's office. The state law advisors usually take 30 days to deal with any bills, because you are aware you can't take any bill to any cabinet or cabinet committee without the certificate from the state law advisor. So they said, because they understand the agency of this, they will try to take 7 days rather than 30 days. And I think subject to correction from the DG, that 7 days expire sometimes this week, in which case then we'll be ready to move. So maybe the DG can explain for all three, I mean for all two of them, because you left the third one for now. We explain exactly where they are, but I just want the committee to know it is in technical stages, otherwise the things are completed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, Chairperson, whether you'll call the DG or, because I don't jump the gun and start chairing the meeting, but I want you to explain further, because things have advanced since we wrote those letters. Thank you.
Chairperson, your sound is not good, but I can hear you a little bit that you are calling for the DG.
Yes, I'm calling for the DG.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, honorable members and the team from the Department of Home Affairs. So the Minister has summarized it quite well. So on the first one, Chairperson, maybe for correctness purposes and record purposes, we should at all times refer to it as the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill and not as a consequential bill. That's how it's referred to. And I think the Minister has indicated that we now are awaiting the office of the Chief State Law Advisor with regards to the certification. The good news is that overnight, last night, they've sent us a preliminary legal opinion, which was supposed to be due today, but already they've sent us a preliminary legal opinion, which is about 19 pages long, and Advocate Dibia is working on it. We should be able to revert back to them on issues that they are raising. However, the long and short is that in terms of their understanding, for now, in the preliminary legal opinion, they are saying in terms of context and scope of the entire bill, they acknowledge that the content of the bill does not render it unconstitutional, and that is in order. So we're just working on a few issues that they've raised, and once we probably get the final certification, as the Minister has said, we should be able to start processing it. As the Minister has indicated, it's probably to the various clusters and the Minister's cluster, and then to the Cabinet committees. But with the exemption, we might be able to go straight to just the Minister's cluster and then to Cabinet. That's with regards to the first one, which is the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill. Chairperson, you'll recall that the bill makes consequential amendments to those statutes that the committee has discussed previously, which is the Political Party Funding Act, the Electoral Act, the Electoral Commission Act, and then the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act. And the last one is the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act. So we're busy with that, and I think by tomorrow, Advocate Dibia should be done, then we can then finalize the other processes. That's with regards to the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks very much, DG. Then we can go to a third and the fourth and the fourth and the fifth presentation.
The second one, maybe the marriage bill. Hope Mosi, you'll be able to just flight the presentation for us from your side. But just by way of introduction, I see Honorable Hendricks is here. There's a letter that he wrote to the Minister. You'll recall, Chair, that there was a private member's bill which Altamar was piloting. And the letter to the Minister of Home Affairs clearly indicates that following the bilateral that we had with Honorable Hendricks and his legal team, they are withdrawing the private members' bill. So I can then deal with the presentation, and maybe for sure, Chairperson, you will guide us in terms of how do we deal with that aspect. So this presentation just then provides an update on the marriage bill. If we can move to the next slide, Muzi. This is the outline, Chairperson, just the purpose, background, and the progress. Where are we with regards to that and the steps that will be undertaken to further process the marriage bill? And then lastly, recommendation. If we can move to the next one, it's just to provide the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs with a progress update on the development of the marriage bill and the proposed timelines. I suppose that this is what the Portfolio Committee is interested in. And then just by way of recap or background, you'll recall that this bill seeks to rationalize marriage laws pertaining to various types of marriages, but secondly, to provide for the recognition of marriages entered into by spouses regardless of religion, cultural, sex, gender, sexual orientation, or any other beliefs of the spouses, and also to provide for the requirements for monogamous marriages, but also to provide for the requirements for polygamous marriages, and to provide for the designation of marriage officers, and also to provide for the solemnization of marriages, and to provide for matters incidental thereto. And then just by way of summary, to recap again on the objects of the bill, there are actually five. One is to rationalize the marriage laws pertaining to various types of marriages. The second aspect is to prescribe the validity requirements of marriages. And in the third area is to provide for the solemnization of marriages, and then to provide for the designation of marriage officers, and to provide for the registration of marriages. So where are we with regards to this bill? You'll recall, Chair, that the bill was approved by Cabinet on the 22nd of June 2023. Following Cabinet approval, a submission was drafted requiring or requesting the Minister to approve the bill to be published for a period of 60 days in the Gazette. And the bill was published and there's the proclamation number in the Government Gazette. And the closing date for public comments was on the 31st of August. And post that, if we can move to the next slide, Mosby, we had a ministerial dialogue, which was also scheduled and held on the 24th of August, 2023 at Constitutional Hill. Must say, Chair, this was probably the largest number of written comments that we received. 11,000 written comments were received. Amongst others, they come from the Cultural and Religious and Linguistic Commission, faith-based organizations, NGOs, civil society organizations, Center for Child Law, the University of Pretoria, National Education, Health and Allied Workers Union, NEHAU, Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, the Center for Social Justice at the University of Stellenbosch, which is headed by, I think it's Professor Tuli Madonsela. And then following the closure of the date of submission of written comments, the department proceeded to consider the written comments and revise the bill accordingly to take into consideration, this is quite important, comments that we have received. And the revised bill was presented to the minister on the 26th, and then we're now about to submit it to the clusters. The minister signed off. The bill is also with the state law advisors. Now, the next table, page slide 11 and 12, will give you an indication in terms of timelines. One, we are now waiting for the preliminary legal opinion, the certification. The minister did say that it normally the timelines are 30 days. However, the chief state law advisor has indicated that this bill and the other one, on the that one that we refer to, the electoral matters one, are a priority in terms of not only do we need to meet the constitutional court deadlines, but they are a priority and they are being prioritized. The second aspect will be to consider the preliminary legal opinion. Once we have received it, we'll have to revise. And they've said we must give that a week. And then we are also waiting for the certificate on the socio-economic impact analysis from the DPME or Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. That shouldn't take long. Once we get that, we should be able to submit the CAB memo to the governance, the economic cluster and the JCPS clusters. And the timelines that are indicated on the right, Chairperson, between October and December are actually in line with what we committed to in the annual performance plan that we've tabled with yourselves and Parliament. So we are online on time to meet the timelines that we've set ourselves. And then the next slide just indicates that once Cabinet has approved the introduction of the bill into Parliament, and then the Minister will then sign off the required letters to the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. There's a typo there, there's an S that's missing. So the timeline there is between January till March 2024, again in line with the commitment that we've made in the annual performance plan. And once that's done, we'll publish the notice of intent to introduce the bill into the Parliament in the Government Gazette. And we hope that we should be able to submit the bill to Parliament by April 2024. That's really the update with regards to that. And it's then recommended that the Portfolio Committee takes note of the progress made in developing the marriage bill and also steps that are being undertaken to further develop the bill, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DG. Can you proceed to the last item?
Chairperson, the last one is the amendments that we have shared with you as well. This is the immigration amendment bill. I think given the fact that there's still a process, Chairperson, the bill still needs to be processed again through the state law advisors. Already we have received an exemption with regards to the CS, with regards to this one. I think just briefly, it's really two slides. If we can move it to slide number two, this is on the immigration amendment bill. We can have it on the slide mode. So that just sets the purpose, the background, and the Concord findings and the proposed amendments. Taking into consideration, Chairperson, that this is still work that needs to be presented to the clusters. In short, the purpose of the Immigration Amendment Bill is to give effect to the Constitutional Court, a judgment which was delivered on the 29th of June 2017 in the matter of Lawyers for Human Rights versus the Minister of Home Affairs and others. And then the court ordered that Section 34(1)(b) in particular and the D of the Immigration Act was inconsistent with Sections 12(1) and 35(2)(d) of the Constitution. So that's really the background with regards to this. And I think on slide number four, we then provide the background in terms of what Section 34(1)(b) and D provide for. And it says there that without the need for a warrant, an immigration officer may arrest an illegal foreigner or cause him or her to be arrested and shall, irrespective of whether such a foreigner is arrested, deport him or her, or cause him or her to be deported and may, pending his or deportation, detain him or her or cause him or her to be detained in a manner at a place determined by the Director General. In this case, it will be the holding facility that we have outside Krugersdorp called Lindela, provided that the foreigner consent may at any time request an officer attending to him or her that his or her detention for the purpose of deportation be confirmed by warrant of a court, which, if not issued within 48 hours of such request, shall cause the immediate release of such a foreigner. And then D states that may not be held in detention for longer than 30 days without a warrant of a court, which on good and reasonable grounds may extend such detention for an adequate period not exceeding 30 calendar days. So that's really the background on this. And where we are now, these are the proposed changes. Clause 1 of the bill substitutes in Section 1 for paragraphs B and provides that any foreigner arrested for purposes of deportation must be brought before a court in person within 48 hours of his or her arrest for the court to determine whether to confirm his or her detention after having heard and considered any representations by the immigration officer and the foreigner concerned. And then clause number two, if we can move to clause one further, amends by substitution in section one for paragraphs D, which provides that foreigners may not be held in detention for longer than 30 days without a warrant of a court appearing or person before a court, which may, on good or reasonable grounds, after having heard and considered any representation by the immigration officer and the foreigner concerned, extend such detention for an adequate period not exceeding 90 days. And then, of course, clause two deals with the short title and commencement date of the act. I need to indicate that Chairperson, while we recommend that you take note of the progress with regards to the bill still needs to go through the proper processes in cabinet before we bring it back for your consideration. And that process is underway. So we just thought we should be able to update you on where we are with regards to it. But the bill is done. Thank you, Chairperson. That concludes the two presentations.
No, thanks, DG. And honorable members, this is the three presentation. It is clearer that we are lagging behind, but also the committee need to develop a time frame on how we're going to navigate these three bills once are tabled before Parliament and referred to the committee, the portfolio committee. And I'm sure members, as we deliberate, should be within that noting that this process, we need to guide it, but also commitment on your side, the minister, the strive that you have already undertaken to engage with your colleagues on the process that needs to be followed, so that at the time you table before Parliament and refer to the committee, at least we're able to deal with all the issues that are required. I'm going to allow members to comment on the process.
Chair?
Yes, Minister?
Can I ask for your indulgence?
Yes.
Yes, before you allow members, I just want to make comments in order to help out members on this amendment to Section 34 of the Immigration Act, because some members might not know. Remember, the history of this act is such that the judgment in the Constitutional Court was passed on the 2017. Parliament has already started this as a parliamentary bill, because that was the agreement between the then department and the sixth parliament as a parliamentary bill, which was started in 2018. But in 2019, it was not completed and the elections took place. And as you know, there are procedures which should have been followed by parliament when an election takes place before a bill is finalized. But unfortunately, that never took place in this in the sixth parliament. And so the bill expired. But I just want to remind members that Parliament at that time, the Portfolio Committee had already met four times to look into that bill. Now, after this new Constitutional Court ruling, we agreed with the committee, the Portfolio Committee, that it must be an executive bill, no longer a parliamentary bill. It must be an executive bill. But I want to reassure you, we did not steal very much away from the wording that Parliament has already used. So what is left really are just technicalities. We have taken what the sixth Parliament has done, really. I mean, the fifth Parliament has done. We have followed it up, and as we are saying, it's now with the state law advisors. By the time it arrives with you, you'll just be revising what you have done as a matter of formality. So we don't think this one is going to take you such a long time. I just wanted to give that background, because it's definitely not something that is new. It is just here in front of you because of technicalities of the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, for that information. In attendance is Honorable Pile, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable van der Merwe, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Mokhale, Honorable Kwase, Honorable Bos, Honorable Tejana, Honorable Lekota, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Modise. I'm going to invite members to comment on the process that has been outlined and perhaps guide further.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I would like to thank you for suggesting that myself and the Minister of Home Affairs have a side meeting so that my private member's bill doesn't delay the much wider marriage bill. And I would like to inform the committee that we, myself and the Minister and the Director General, made tremendous progress. What could not have been achieved in 30 years, we managed to achieve after you directed that we meet and sit down. And I am pleased to say now that, number one, Al-Jamaa is only interested in the registration of Muslim marriages. And, as you know, one of the consequences is that if you die, a death certificate will not say never married, which causes indignity. And number two, I want to make a point that Al-Jamaa is a political party. We are not a religion. We are not a ulama body or a religious body. And you have 11,000 comments from them with regard to the marriage bill. So we're just focusing on registration because we feel it's important that all South Africans' births and marriages and deaths must be on the national population register. And that is what we've been struggling for the past 300 years. Now it is on. And it's a very simple process. And the ministers also saved Muslim women a lot of money. They don't have to pay the 10,000 rand for contracts and to register with the deed office. He found a way. And it's a simple process, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not taking much of your time. All you have to do is come with your two IDs, come with your nikah certificate that your priest has given you, and then choose whether you're in or out of community of property, and then say, look, we agree that we are getting married in terms of Islamic Sharia marriage law. And as you know, the Constitutional Court said that is part of a common law now. A very simple process. I don't know why we couldn't come up with this in over 30 years. But I'd like to also, besides thanking you, thank the Minister and Director General that you've given, restored the dignity of especially Muslim women. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hendricks, for the comment and also committing to collectively work with the committee and the Minister and DM and the DG and all the colleagues that the committee has requested yourself and the minister to engage on the process. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all colleagues on the platform and all stakeholders, Chair. Let me first welcome the progress report and updates from the DG, and we appreciate, and I'm going to speak to all three, we appreciate the work that has been done. And I think it's important for us to follow proper processes and procedures. So there's not much to discuss on the actual bill. Until we are at the point where it's reached cabinet and it then comes back to us as the committee. So, Chair, I want to welcome the progress, and I think I support your proposal that we have a roadmap or time frames that are set out so that we're able to achieve this. And I just want to be cautious of time, seeing that the others are going to rise soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pile, Honorable van der Merwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning to our colleagues. Good morning to our Minister and our Director General. Chairperson, yes, I think my general comment would just be that, you know, and you've also articulated it, but the general processing of bills seems to be taking far too long. But we've heard the updates, and we thank the Department for giving us those updates. I would also agree with Honourable Pillay that we need a very clear roadmap in terms of time frames, because, for example, the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill, I heard from the DG now that there was a legal opinion and Advocate De Beer is working on it. But I think we need time frames because this bill in particular for us is very urgent considering the upcoming elections. With regard to the marriage bill, now if we're saying that the time frame for this to be tabled to Parliament is April 2024, if we take the scenario that there might be an election in May, I guess then we will rise before this bill is tabled to Parliament, which is another concern to me, because it simply means that if there's an election in May, we'll come back in Feb, we'll pass the budget, etc., we'll close Parliament, and then this bill will lapse. So really my question is, considering the heightened interest from the public in this bill, because I heard the DG talking about the various comments that was received, is there no way that we can expedite this bill in terms of getting it through the parliamentary process as well, to get it done so that we can process it? Then on the general, on the immigration amendments, I heard what the minister said, that the bill lapsed in the previous term and that it's only technical in nature. And that is fine, but again, you know, it takes 6 years. It's 6 years for us to process this, and I think that is, again, it's not acceptable. But in general, Chairperson, I want to make a comment. This is a technical amendment that we will be processing, but, you know, we've been talking about general immigration reform for a very long time, and we will rise as a committee, leave Parliament next year, and no immigration reforms would have been affected. And really, once we talk about the incident that happened at was it Clancy, which Honourable Ruiz has informed us about, where these illegal minors or undocumented migrants were released after 48 hours because they could not be processed. It really raises again in my mind the question about how many people have been arrested, undocumented migrants have been arrested and released, simply because the department could not process them within those 48 hours. And it takes me back to this question, which I keep on raising about, you know, our fight against illegal migration and undocumented migrants, because it seems to be a never-ending cycle that doesn't go anywhere. In other words, we affect raids, we arrest people, and I don't necessarily see it resulting in deportations or a reduction in the number of illegal or undocumented migrants within our borders. So really, I think it's unfortunate that it's only a technical amendment before us and that it's taken so long and that we have not dealt with the bigger issues of the challenges that we face within our immigration system and laws. But other than that, we note the updates and we really appeal for these matters to be handled speedily so that we can finalize it before Parliament rises. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Merve, for your contributions. Honourable Mulegwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation, the statement, and the marriage book. I also want to commend the department for the process registered and the process, and I agree with the recommendation as presented. Support the proposal by Honourable Pillay. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mulegwa. Honourable Mohale, thank you for your contributions. Honourable Mohale? Honourable Ruiz?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you know, I think I want to echo what Honourable Funamarva was saying in terms of the general challenge we have with processing bills at the Department of Home Affairs. And it has a heavy impact on our society in all sorts of different areas. We've had case after case where the department cannot come out with a bill in time or cannot meet the requirements of the judgment. So I'd just like to understand from the minister, what is the status in terms of capacitating the Department of Home Affairs to process and deal with bills quicker? If we look at this, I'll start with the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill. Chairperson, I agree we need a timetable, but that timetable also, it needs to work backwards from the IEC's process, from when an election is declared, how much time is needed to execute it, and then forwards as well, from when the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill would be tabled. And then we also need to understand, Chair, what happens if those two timetables don't meet? Because my understanding is that the election has to happen by August 2024, even though it is there, I think it's tentatively scheduled in May. But there is a hard ending sometime in August 2024. And this creates a serious problem. So, Chairperson, when we look at that timetable, we need to look at both sides of that, but also what happens in the middle if one is if for whatever reason the delay is not too long to actually manage to process these consequential amendments in time. And then, Chairperson, it could be a good idea to get a legal opinion on whether we will be able to proclaim an election before the consequential amendments are passed, because it's going to create a two-class system of two different types of candidates that has two different rights and obligations that creates a level of unfairness in the electoral process. Then, Chair, moving on to the Marriages Act. I think I've mentioned it before, the Women's Legal Centre Trust judgment on the 20th of June 2022, the court gave 24 months for the President and Cabinet together with Parliament to remedy the defects. And they were very specific. They said by amending existing legislation or initiating and passing new legislation within 24 months in order to ensure the recognition of Muslim marriages. So this doesn't suggest that a circular is going to meet the requirements of this judgment. So my question is, has Home Affairs sought a legal opinion on whether the proposed circular does meet the requirements of the judgment? And if not, in what ways it falls short? And then if this marriage bill is only going to be tabled in Parliament in April 2024, it will not only not be passed, it will probably lapse. Has or will Home Affairs approach the court in this regard? Because there was a private members bill that could have resolved this. We could have had some form of legislation in place until the Marriage Act was passed, but now we don't. So is Home Affairs planning to approach the court in this regard to seek condemnation for missing the 24-month deadline? Then in terms of the immigration amendment, again, this judgment was handed down in June 2017, and Parliament had 24 months to correct the defect. I think my first concern, Chair, is that we receive a legacy report when we start every term. And I think it is something that is very important in the future, is that these rulings should be part of that legacy report. Because it's now 5 years later, essentially after the deadline, when this immigration amendment was supposed to be implemented in Parliament, and we don't even have it tabled yet. So I think it's critical that these things, that we need to be really made aware of them, so that we can deal with them timeously. So, but what I don't understand, Chair, and my question to the Minister, is that the changes seem to be fairly short and simple. So why did it take so long to table into Parliament? And then my other question, really, if you look at Section 9 of the judgment, and it said Lawyers for Human Rights have instituted no less than 115 cases against the state on behalf of clients facing deportation since 2009. I'd just like to understand the nature of these. Why is Home Affairs being litigated against in this regard? Because that's quite a few cases over there. That's it from me, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Ross, for your contributions. Honourable Tejana.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to you and the Minister and all of us. Without sounding repetitive, Chair, I think colleagues have spoken to largely on the issues that I would have wanted to raise. But I just want to check, Chair, in the term of this ending term, how many bills has Home Affairs has been able to pass through, especially in respect to the parliamentary process, so that we don't create an impression or imagination amongst ourselves that the marriage bill is going to pass the test in April, while it will not. Because it seems like the process takes longer from Home Affairs in terms of finalization. So I just want to check, how many have we been able to pass through and have met the entire process, including that of being presented to Parliament, so that we don't have a unnecessary expectation in respect to this one, Chair. And we appreciate, of course, the updates that we have been given, but they are not enough if the things are not, that are supposed to be done are not done. No, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tejana, for your contributions. Honourable Lekota.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say that I have been so more than sufficiently covered by all the colleagues who have raised the issues they raised. I'm waiting to hear the feedback, therefore, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to both receive this information that we have been given, and then, of course, to respond if we wanted to respond. Thank you, sir.
Lekota, Honourable Advocate Bongo.
No, thank you, Chair, and good day. We appreciate the update from the Ministry. I think we also appreciate that there is a lot of work that is being done in terms of ensuring that we keep up with the time that we have set for ourselves. I think what I also appreciate is the manner in which the Ministry has dealt with the issue of the private member's bill. I think there is proper way forward on where to in terms of that bill. And then what I just want to emphasize strictly is that noting the concerns of members about the time frame, let's just have a roadmap, a proper roadmap on how to proceed with these issues, and probably endorse what the minister has said, that we may have to apply for exemptions in terms of other things if time frame is not on our side. But other than that, we appreciate the updates, and let's overemphasize on the roadmap that will clearly tell us where to from here. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Bongani Bongo. Honorable Mudise Mza.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me note and appreciate the updates that were provided to this meeting. Chair, I also lastly want to agree with the concerns that the members have raised with regard to the time frames and the deadlines that we must meet. And I also want to echo the sentiments of Honorable Bongo that we appreciate the work that has been done thus far. I think we started well as a committee. We started well with the other bills and matters that we dealt with in the past, including the electoral amendment bill, which would have then led to these consequential amendments that we are supposed to be dealing with and seeing a finality on it. Chair, I also want to emphasize on the matter of a time frame and want to propose that probably the committee secretary should then assist us as a matter of agency to draw up a roadmap for us so that we have a clear way forward and a direction on how we are going to move forward up until the time when the term would end. We take note that we are only 4 weeks or a month away from Parliament's rising, and that we will not have much time in the year of 2024 to deal with all these matters. So we may really need to find other mechanisms that Parliament may be able to provide in order for us to speed up some of the processes if that may be allowed or when time permits, so that by the time we all go on a break or on a recess for campaigning for the 2024 elections, we would have then covered and dealt with the bills that are outstanding. But we appreciate what the department has also done, the efforts that they've made. I do not think that the department is just sitting and delaying the processes. We know that at times these processes do take a time. So we want to appreciate the work that has been done, but not withstanding the fact that we are really out of time now, and we are having a pressure for us to find finality and conclude these outstanding bills. Therefore, an issue of time frame is of concern for all of us, as members have alluded to it, and therefore a proper and efficient and a roadmap really is a need right now. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Modisemza, and all members for your contribution. Before I get into invite the Minister and the DG, Honourable Hendricks, is he still on the line? Mr. Matonzi, is still Honourable Hendricks still on the line?
Yes.
Honourable Hendricks? Okay. Let me invite the minister, and I will deal with the matter of Honourable Hendricks as we when we close. Minister, DG? Minister?
Thank you.
Chair, you. Are you trying to get all of me, Chair?
Yes, yes, sir, Minister. I wanted us to move out of the meeting with the your position, so that members note that our understanding is that you have now formally withdrawn the private members bill as per the report and the comments that you are dealing with, and we'll also appreciate that you do that in writing to the portfolio committee, so that you are is on record. Is that our understanding with you?
Working straight over the first part of the paper.
Yeah, Chair, you are quite correct that we have written to the minister that at his request that we are withdrawing the private members bill so that Muslim marriages can be registered on the National Population Register. We had extensive meetings, and we were given the assurance that the few clauses that we do have in our private members bill will be accommodated in the new bill. So this is a win situation for us, Honourable Chair, because, you know, the chances are that the private members bill will not make it in time, and then it will lapse into the next parliament, and we're not sure whether Al-Zama will have a seat, you know, in the seventh parliament. No, so we now have a situation, Chair, that immediately from the 27th of July, Muslim marriages can be registered on the National Population Register with much ado.
Honourable Hendricks, what I'm requesting, the background I think all of us in the committee has been briefed on, I'm requesting that now that you've communicated with the minister, we request you to write a correspondence to the committee indicating the withdrawal of the private members bill so that it's on record on the our correspondence. I think that will be fair on our side.
So fine, Honourable Chair, I note your request, and I will give our legal department the necessary instructions so that the matter is put to rest.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Minister?
Chairperson, before the minister,
Thank you very much. I'll invite the minister. Minister, I'm solid.
Chairperson.
Mr. Matonse?
Yes, just before the minister, regarding the issue of the withdrawal, Chairperson, I've been speaking to Honorable Hendricks, secretary or a person who works with him, to say, you know, the withdrawal, because the bill is before the committee, then the withdrawal, the correspondence should be addressed to the speaker, and then they can just copy us so that the speaker can withdraw the bill so that is on the parliamentary papers, Chair. So they write to the speaker and then copy us. That's all, Chair.
Minister Mtoledi?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the issue of the marriage, colleagues, let me remind you, because we are conflating a number of things here. Remember that we took a decision as far back as 2019 that the marriage regime of the country needs to be changed for various reasons. And the fact that we have got too many marriages act which do not fit into our constitutional democracy. And exactly on the 19th of August 2019, we started this process. So the process of changing Marriage Act started 4 years ago. It's not something that is new. But during the course of that, that's when then the Women's Legal Center went to court about the Muslim marriages, specifically, not about all the others that were worrying us. So we met with Minister Hendricks, as he said, to try and merge the two processes. The court process about the Muslim, which is only about Muslim marriages, not about this. But remember also that there were other processes which were happening in the Department of Justice about divorce and marriage. So we had to reform the whole institution. Now we are doing that. We believe we are on course. I agree, Chairperson, that we are left with very little time. But it's because of the extensive consultation and extensive processes that went over a period of 4 years. If we are going to repeat the same processes again, it will be a great pity. And I want Parliament, the moment the bill is put in front of them, to consider that fact, that we have gone for 4 years with lots of meetings, lots of consultation, lots of public comments, 11,000, etc. Now, to go and repeat them from the beginning, I don't know whether it's just because procedures will be forcing us to do so. On the issue of registration, honorable members, I also want you to understand, because we also discussed this matter with Honorable Hendricks, all marriages have to be on the National Population Register. It was a grievous fault that the act which was passed in 1961, which is sort of called the Christian Act and Western Act, was the only one that was recognized. But you remember that things changed in 1986 when the National Population Register came into being. The unfortunate thing here, Chairperson, which I repeat again and again and again, is that marriages that took place before June 1986 were all manual. They were manually written. And when the National Population Register was introduced, it was automated. Now, people have to come to Home Affairs. Anybody who married before the June 1986 have to come personally to Home Affairs, hand in the manual certificate so that it gets automated and be turned into the National Population Register. The unfortunate thing is that it looks like many people in the population did not know. Now, on these Muslim marriages, the Constitutional Court ruled that for them to register, they can use the Customary Marriages Act in the meantime, something which they didn't like very much. But after meeting with Mr. Hendricks, we made provision for them to register. We even agreed that we'll open a desk for Muslim communities. We'll open a desk in Home Affairs offices where they'll be guided on how to register the marriages. We don't get proud, Chairperson, of people coming crying to us and say we've got the testificate of a parent which is written never married, simply because the marriage was not registered. So in terms of registration, I could say we have got that under control. What we must do is just to finalize the whole bill so that it gets passed. We gave you the date of April because that is the maximum date that we could stretch ourselves to. But if things can work much faster, we will be able to give it to you before April. We are just doing it because in April is what appears on our APP. But because now we realize that all members are worried, we'll try to expedite. We'll really try to expedite, and members must also help us. On the issues raised by Honorable Lizelle van der Merwe about the consequential amendment to the Electoral Amendment Act, what will happen? Honorable van der Merwe, we are eagerly waiting. You are aware that this amendment has been challenged in court. It's now 7 weeks that we've been waiting for the Constitutional Court to make a judgment. They had the case 7 weeks ago, and we are also worried why the judgment is not coming on time. But be that as it may, I just want to allay the fears of the committee. If you look at the amendments, all the amendments that the DG has mentioned, the Party Funding Act, the Electoral Amendment Act itself, the Electoral Commissions Act, the Elections Communications Act, and the Financial Management of Provincial and National Parliament. All of them, or let me say 90% to be accurate, about 90% are technical, where you just change the wording, where it is written a political party, you also add independent and vice versa. The main one that we'll be discussing, that will need your attention, it will be the Electoral Party Funding Act, because you are aware that it's already in court for that matter, even before the consequential amendment is passed, but it's already in court. That is the only one we are going to sit on. On the others, I want to remind members that it came here in front of you, none of you questioned it, and that is 90% of what needs to be amended. So we'll be dealing only with about 10%, which is about the party funding. On the issue of the immigration reforms, Honorable van der Merwe, we mentioned many times that we are overhauling the immigration system of the country. And we've been working on the white paper for the past 24 months or so, on the white paper, because we don't have a policy on immigration. We just have laws on immigration. We've got lots of acts, but an overarching policy has never been passed since 1994. And we thought we'll need to start there. And as I'm speaking, it has already gone through several parliamentary committees. It is just left to go to cabinet. We won't be able to pass an act about immigration in this session of parliament, but we'll certainly pass the white paper, which is a foundation of the acts that will come in the subsequent parliament. So that work is in progress. We never folded our arms. It also was a very extensive. On the issue, because Honorable van der Merwe, you raised it, of minors that were released, that one really is not because of the laws. It's the top brass of the police. And I've already spoken to the deputy commissioner in a form of a reprimand. The police went there without informing the head office of Home Affairs. They went to Northern Cape to work with a very, very junior official in immigration, who may not understand these things and who doesn't have capacity. Usually, we ask them that when they conduct this operation, they tell us, because we have got a few immigration officers, we mobilize all the immigration officers around the country. That's how we run operations. When we run operations with the police, Operation Fiera or whatever, we mobilize around the whole country. We don't use one small area, especially Northern Cape, which is very small and have got the tiniest number of immigration officers. Now they do that alone, and when problems arose, they then phone the DG and ask him, why is Home Affairs having no capacity? If they told the DG before that, before going to conduct an operation, it would have worked, Chairperson. So that really was just a mistake that happened within the law enforcement agencies of not working together. And we still believe that operation must be redone with everybody, with a lot of planning. Not in the manner in which it happened, where people got released, We also were very angry. I even reported the matter to the National Commissioner himself that this type of thing must never happen again by our officials, where they just work with junior people. The biggest problem here was that it was senior commissioners from national, but going to work with junior people in the province, leaving senior people in Home Affairs at national. It was something that really we believe should never happen again. Honorable Rose, I'm not sure. I heard you talking about asking for a legal opinion if the constitutional amendments are not passed. I'm not sure whether you talk about the constitutional amendments to the bills. I don't see any reason why we really shouldn't pass them. As I'm saying, we are left with, it's only 10% what we need to deal with. The others we are not going to question because we have not questioned before, because they are very tiny, very highly technical. The issue of legacy, Honorable Rose, I agree with you, but let's accept that mistakes happened on both sides. This Constitutional Court ruling happened in 2017. I came into Home Affairs in 2019. I did not know about that. It was not given to me during handover. You also came in 2019 as a new parliament, and I don't think there was a handover from the previous parliament that they were working on a bill which have not been completed. When so many meetings were held, lots of meetings, Honorable Rules, at least 4 or 5 meetings already held by the previous portfolio committee. And it's something that should have happened quicker. We became aware of this lacuna or this problem when there was an operation in Deep Slot when people were starting to be get killed there. 2,000 illegal people were arrested and they were all released because of this gap in the legislation. That's when some of us became aware that there is something like this, and we started doing work on it. And we are really hoping, as you are saying, you saw it's only 2 pages that the DG has submitted here. And what I was trying to say before you started asking questions was that when it comes, Parliament must take cognizance of the fact that its predecessor has done a lot of work, and there might not be any reason to go all over again and discover something new, start reinventing the wheel when a lot of work was already done by the previous parliament. And because it was a parliamentary bill, when a decision was taken this time around that it be an executive member's bill, we did not steer much away from the waiting that was used by the previous parliament in order to expedite it. So what is left is just held back by technicalities at the present moment. Chairperson, I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
No thanks, Minister. DG, is there any other matter?
No, I think I'm covered by the Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks very much, Honourable Members and colleagues. The matter that relates to Police and the Home Affairs Minister, your last matter, in relation to the release of those foreign or the nationals in the Northern Cape, we will schedule a brief. Invite yourself again with either the Minister of Police or the Commissioner, just for the committee to appreciate the issues that are confronting the two portfolios in relation to this matter and other matters. It will be important that members of the committee interact with the both sides of the matter from the police and yourselves. And we do note that there were issues in relation to how the matter was processed. It is important that members of the committee were able to be thoroughly briefed on that matter. The second, which members are resolving, is that we need to develop a time frame that will talk to the 3 items which you have presented before us. And I think I also raised a concern in relation to the elections that we are facing and the end of the seeks Parliament in the manner that we're running this bill. We may, at this point, assume that we will be able to table all the reports before Parliament by the committee once we've done all the process that are required in terms of the work of Parliament. So we need to draw that time frame, Mr. Matonsi, as members have requested, in line with what the talking to the department and present the time frame to the committee so they're able to know how we're going to interface with that. That would require us, members, to also write an application that during the recess or the period that will be on recess, work on this three bills. The indication I'm getting on the presentation is that one or two of the bills, once the cabinet has approved, it will be referred tabled before Parliament. And it may request that at the time it's tabled to Parliament, our time frame to interact with the process, we've already endorsed it so that we start on the last foot. So all the issues that we raised, Minister, and the DM by member, and also the appreciation on the time and the work that is undertaken to deal with this bill is noted. And the Director General, thanks very much for that. Mr. Matonsi, the roadmap that I think you will be developing, that interact with the Home Affairs on all the issues, and then table that the roadmap to the Portfolio Committee for noting, so that it becomes easier on how we need to move forward. We're now dealt with all the items. There's no any other item that we are left with. Thanks, members, and thanks, honorable members, for this important meeting. It was important because we ought to deal with critical issues, including this process of the election. On that score, Mr. Matonsi, you'll also interface with the IEC on the timetable so that your roadmap also talk to the timetable. I'm fully aware that today they have launched an activity in relation to the elections, so I think we need to talk to that to that space. We have last minutes to adopt members, our last minute. Mr. Matonsi, can you run on those minutes?
Okay, Chairperson, this is the minute of the meeting that... Can you hear me, Chair?
Chairperson, Mutualedi here.
Minister?
Yes, should the Home Affairs team still be sitting in when these minutes are being adopted?
No. Sorry, Minister. In fact, I was in my closing. I wanted to release you. Just I was disrupted by the interruption of the minutes on my screen. I wanted to end up the three items and get into the minutes. You are released, Minister DG. Thanks very much, and your colleagues.
Okay.
Proceed, Mr. Matonsi.
No, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, this is the minute of the meeting that was held on the 17th of October, where the content advisor was supposed to brief us on the BRRR report and then the committee to adopt it. We could not adopt because there was information that was supposed to be coming from the department that we still were waiting for. And then that meeting was also moved to the 20th, which was Friday last week. Chairperson, the minutes were sent to all members. And these are the members who were in the meeting.
Okay, members, these are the minutes of the last committee meeting. Can I get comments?
Chairperson?
Not please.
Chair, now I'd like to move for the adoption of the minutes. And I must also commend the committee that we are on par with our minutes now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pile. Any seconder?
Chairperson?
Honorable Ross?
I second the minutes. And I concur as well. It's really good to be processing these timelessly.
Thank you. Members, any objection? No objection. The minutes have been considered. Members, thanks very much. These are the only minutes, Mr. Matonzi.
There is a minutes of the 20th, that is Friday.
Oh, it is. The special meeting.
Yeah, the special meeting that we had. Okay. That's where the content advisor briefed us on the BRRR report, and the committee considered and adopted the report. But also, I did receive some few typos, correction from Honorable Ross. I've included them I've indicated here that this is the word that I was going to remove here. There was T somewhere here. So I'm going to remove that red there. And then the other one here is the word that I'm going to remove is chatwork instead of chatwork. That is here, also as here. And also changes here to say the content advisor went through the report focusing on departmental response to previous reports. And then I'll remove N, observation and recommendation. This includes the response to the 2022 BRRR, the 2023 budget report, outstanding recommendation, then I'll remove this red, and then 2023 BRRR recommendation, then I'll remove this. That is the correction that I received from Honorable Workshop.
Okay. Thanks, members, and also for those amendments. And I invite members to move for the adoption.
Chairperson?
Honorable Ross?
Chair, just to clarify, the Chatsworth there, it's Chatsworth, not Chatsworth.
Noted.
But with those amendments, I would move for the adoption.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Ross? Honorable Pile?
Chair, no, the correct spelling is Chatsworth. I just wanted to correct that because I saw that it was... Yeah. And I'll check.
So your second minute?
Second, yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, members, for minutes. No objection. Minutes have been carried. So we only had 2 minutes, Mr. Matonzi.
Yes.
Okay. No, thanks, members, for interacting with all the items and no any other item. Well, then, Mr. Matonzi, I request that you convene a facilitate meeting of MENCO. We'll deal with the date so that we thresh out the issues that members have raised in the meeting. Okay. Thank you, members. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Bye-bye.